Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, Robin Hood Radio's very own critic, and guide to all things cinematic. A good word. He joins us weekly. The films, and I will just let the listening world make their own story. Bones and All, The Menu, and RRR. I think, unless it's
That is quite a trio of titles, and they go nicely together because we start with Bones and All, and then we go to The Menu, and since Bones and All is about eating bones and all, it's a horror movie that deals with cannibalism. Yeah, it goes very nicely. And then I guess RRR is the groan of satisfaction or something after you've eaten your bones and all off the menu.
Or the dog fighting with the other dog to get the bones.
Well, in this case, I'm afraid it's human beings. But let us begin with that movie, Bones and All. This is the new movie from Luca Guadagnino, who's a director who has made, I think, a few really, really good movies. He made a film called A Bigger Splash a few years ago, about 7 years ago, which I think is quite a good film. He made a film called I Am Love back in 2009, which I think is absolutely just visually just almost a masterpiece. And he made a remake of the old horror movie Suspiria just a few years ago. And in fact, he does seem to have a flair for horror movies because now he has made another one, Bones and All. And it is, as I've already hinted, a movie which deals with cannibalism, not a very pleasant topic, but here we are meant to be entertained by it. So what we have here are two young people, Lee, a young man played by Timothée Chalamet, and a young woman, Maren, played by Taylor Russell. And at the very beginning of the movie, the first one we meet is Maren, and she is hanging out with some friends one night. And suddenly, to everyone's surprise, she grabs the finger of one of them and starts to gobble it or try to gobble it, to eat it. And of course, this causes a great uproar among her and her high school friends. And she is forced to run back to her house where she rouses her father from bed. He is played by Andre Holland. And we realize that this has happened before because suddenly they've got a bag all packed and they're on the lam. They're running. They're getting away before somebody, the cops or somebody comes and gets them. And from here on, Maren, our young high school age character, is on the run during the whole movie. And pretty soon she meets the young man named Lee, played by Timothée Chalamet. And the rest of the movie is pretty much, not entirely, but pretty much their travels as they are kind of on the road together. They're sort of a Bonnie and Clyde or some such thing, a young couple of dubious characters, but who we develop some affection for on the run. And along the way, they meet various other people, and therein comes some of the movie's best acting, I think. They meet a very eccentric guy named Sully, played by Mark Rylance. Mark Rylance, I think, is an actor who can pretty much do no wrong, and he is just fascinating as this character who is kind of mysterious and menacing, and at first he seems like a really sweet guy, and by the way, we discover that he is another of the compulsive cannibals, as Maren and Lee are. We soon discovered that Lee is also one of these figures. And so he is another one. And he meets Maren because he can smell her. He can smell the cannibalism on her. And he is another one of the cannibals. And later on, they meet a guy named Jake, played by Michael Stuhlbarg. One of the most interesting performances in the movie, because I always think of Michael Stuhlbarg as playing sort of dignified characters. And here he plays the exact opposite, a totally undignified, leering, sort of a creepy guy. Chloe Sevigny enters the story after a while. So a really interesting cast, I have to say, along the way. So what is Bones and All? It is a horror movie about these compulsive cannibals who have this urge that they cannot resist to eat other people. And the ideal case is to eat the other person right down to the bones and all. hence the title of the film. It is a road movie because we have Lee and Marin on the run and traveling from place to place through most of the movie. And it's a movie with some very interesting performances. Unfortunately, I don't think it's a very successful movie. It doesn't quite work for me. Some people love it. Some people think it's one of the great recent horror films. I don't quite think so. Chalamet gives a performance which I think is kind of dull. He's an interesting actor. He's a very appealing actor, but I think he's kind of dull here. And I also think thought he was kind of dull in that, let's just say I think he's been dull in recent years, and I wish that he would develop more originality and inventiveness and excitement in his performance. Taylor Russell, who plays Marin, is a very gifted young black actor, and I think that she has a real future. I did enjoy watching her. What I mainly enjoyed was the marvelous performance by Mark Rylance and the marvelous performance by Michael Stuhlbarg and a few of the others. I have to say one other thing I did not like about the movie was the music score, which I found dreary and dull and ordinary, and it did not in any way enhance the experience for me. So I rather like horror movies. There have been a jillion of them in this year of 2022. Bones and All is one of the most ambitious, but I just don't think it's one of the best. It doesn't quite work. Next for the menu, which is, it's kind of another horror movie, but in this case, a more eccentric one. Bones and All is about these compulsive cannibals, and we've had horror movies before that deal with cannibalism and monsters and things like that. Although in this case, the monsters looked very much like ordinary people. The Menu is a more eccentric and strange kind of a horror movie, and it sort of comes out of nowhere. Again, I'm afraid I don't think it quite works, but it's an interesting premise anyway. So what we have here are a young couple played by Anya Taylor-Joy and Nicholas Holt. Their names are Margot and Tyler. And at the very beginning of the movie, they get on a boat with a bunch of other people and they go off to this island where there is some sort of super spectacular, unbelievably great restaurant. Hence the title of the film, The Menu. And the menu, the restaurant is run by a guy named Chef. That's all everybody ever calls him. His name is Chef Slovak, played by Ralph Fiennes, of course, a great, great actor. And by the way, I just got done seeing him on stage in New York. He really is a spectacular actor in a very fine play called Straight Line Crazy. Anyway, Ralph Fiennes plays the chef. And he runs this place, and we discover that he is a great, dedicated chef, also a real autocrat who runs the place with an iron hand, and he treats the staff of the restaurant, including the cooks, as if they were soldiers in his army, and they're all incredibly disciplined and whatnot. And he introduces each dish to the assembled people who have all come a great way to this island with this restaurant on it to experience the magnificent glories of culinary delight that he is going to offer them. Well, it soon turns out that this restaurant is an extremely sinister place where all kinds of strange dishes are served and where all kinds of untoward happenings occur. For example, not too far into the movie, one of the sous chefs is introduced with his own special meal that he is going to offer everybody. And his special offering turns out to be that he shoots himself in the head with a gun and dies before our eyes. At that point, we discover that this restaurant is more than creepy, more than sinister, that it's a downright violent place. And eventually it becomes apparent that everybody in the restaurant, staff and customers alike, are all going to meet unhappy fates that very night. Now, it's an interesting premise. And the movie is directed with a fair amount of energy by Mike Mylod, by the way, who is mostly a TV director and has directed a number of episodes for what I regard as excellent series. Succession is one of them. Game of Thrones is another one. So, you know, a director who really knows what he's doing. But in this case, the premise is quite fascinating. The sinister restaurant where all kinds of bad things are going to happen. But once, as the premise gets explained and as it goes on and motivates everything that happens in the movie, scene after scene after scene. As the premise wears thin, I found that the movie was wearing thin too. It just became less interesting for me. And also, it becomes fairly early on. It becomes so extravagant, so over the top, so in your face, that there was just no subtlety left to it anymore. And it was just sort of waiting for what shocking thing is going to happen next. So again, a wonderful cast. Everybody is good in it. And the movie develops some interest because there are interactions among the various customers in the restaurant. Some of them knew each other before. Some of them are just meeting each other for the first time. And that's kind of interesting. And it lends, oh, I won't say depth to the movie, but it adds a small amount of complexity to the movie. But generally, as I said, as the premise wears thin, the movie wears thin. It just wasn't very interesting after a while for me. Now, I have to say that The Menu has really, really pleased a whole lot of critics. A lot of people are really enjoying it very much. And I say more power to them. Have a good time with this movie. It's an interesting sort of quirky off-the-wall horror film, but I just didn't find it quite worked for me. I wish The Menu were a bit more varied, and I wish The Menu were not quite so eager to please me by shocking me. Week, Jill, I guess I'm a Grinch in this holiday season. Bones and All, The Menu, both very dark movies, but movies that just didn't quite please my movie-going palate, I'm afraid. So how about our third movie for today, RRR? Here is a movie from India. India, you know, has a huge, thriving, bustling film industry. Not very often anymore do movies from India get to the American circuit. In this case, this movie actually got to America quite a few months ago. I just recently caught up with it because the New York Film Critics Circle, an organization that I used to be chair of years ago, recently voted its director, S.S. Rajamouli, the best director of 2022. So I thought, well, gee, I really ought to catch up with this movie. And by the way, it's streaming, it's on Netflix, anybody can see it. Now, one of the things that is common for Indian movies is that they tend to be very, very long. Sure enough, RRR is very, very long. It's more than 3 hours long. Another thing about Indian movies is that they tend to almost always have songs and dances in them. And yes, RRR does have, oh, just a very few of those, but they're there. So this is very much an Indian movie. That aside, it is not a musical. It is not a love story. It is an action movie, and it is a flat-out, full-out action movie in every sense of the word. So here is what it deals with. It deals with a couple of revolutionaries whose names are Bheem and Raju. Their names are a little more complicated than that, but that's what they're usually called in the movie. And they are living back in the days of England's colonial rule over India. And this is very, very much a movie about colonialism and about the evils of colonial rule. So England is ruling over India with an iron fist. There is nothing good about it. It is awful, awful, awful. And what happens at the very beginning of the movie is that the colonial governor and his wife just abduct a little girl from her village because they like the little girl and they would just like to have her for their own. In fact, England is ruling India with such an iron fist that it can't really be called an abduction. They can just walk off with the child if they feel like it. Well, this enrages the village, and one of the villagers decides to get that little girl back no matter what. And this is what sets up the conflict and then friendship, which proceeds throughout the entire movie between these two superhero characters, Raja and Bheem. So, what we have, by the way, for most of the more than 3 hours of running time is action, action, action. Now, one of the problems with RRR, from my point of view, is that it is very much like the old kung fu movies I used to see 50 years ago, the old martial arts movies. It is full of all these impossible feats of heroic skill and heroic daring do, a cartoon physics, all kinds of things that could not possibly happen in real life are just happening all the time. That, for me, was one of the flaws of the movie. It's a totally live-action movie, except for all the computer-generated imagery, but it really plays out rather like a cartoon. Another thing is that the politics of it are absolutely primitive. This is no dissection and exposure of the flaws of colonialism. The colonial rulers, they are simply monsters who just have absolutely no consideration or feeling for anybody else in the world besides themselves. So it's not a movie you're going to learn anything from, except colonialism is bad, and I hope we already know that. So that's another little problem with the movie. One further problem with the movie is that there is just not an ounce of subtlety in anything that goes on in the whole film. It is just action and violence, this and that. If you associate India of the colonial days, as I often do, with the spirit of Mahatma Gandhi, oh, his spirit is utterly lacking from this movie. It is all just fights and violence and bloodshed and this and that. Now, at the very beginning of the movie, we have a couple of printed disclaimers, which I was glad to see. One is that everything that happens in the movie is totally fictional. Totally. The main characters really existed, but they never met each other, and none of the things that happen in this movie ever happen. Another thing that we're told at the very beginning of the movie, and I was very glad to see this at the beginning of the movie, is that all the scenes involving animals, and there's a lot of animals in this movie, it takes place back in the 1920s when animals were all over the place, all the animals in the movie are computer generated. So the bad things you see happening from time to time to animals are not really happening to actual animals, not even animal actors. So I was glad to see that. If you like action movies, if you like nonstop editing and camera movement and action being flung across the screen at a furious pace, then you will probably enjoy RRR. For me, it was just too much of too muchness, and I very soon got tired of it, although I stuck it out for the whole 3 hours plus. As somebody once said, critics are people who sit through things, and for me, it was a bit of a chore to sit through RRR, but I did it. Other people are having a wonderful time watching this movie. The New York film critics have regarded this as the best directed movie of 2022, and that's just fine, too. For me, none of these three movies this week quite worked, Jill, but I hope other people have a good time. So that is my somewhat grinchy story for this holiday weekend.
Thank you very much, David Sterrett. Films in Focus, the films, Bones and All, The Menu, and RRR.